Oh, that's right. It's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon right here in Greenwood, and I've been able to snag the president of Lander University to come in and sit down and tell us what's been going on and maybe a little bit about what the future holds. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but Dan Ball, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Ann. Thank you. I prefer to be outside, but we'll just
Well, we could go ahead and do the interview outside if you'd like. We could move out there.
Let's go ahead and suffer and look for sympathy. How's
look
that?
For sympathy. Yeah, that's right. And stay with the air conditioning here. That makes it nice since we all have to be dressed accordingly, right? But you are coming fast up on graduation.
Next Saturday. Saturday the 3rd.
That's pretty quick.
It'll be the largest class we've ever graduated. And that creates problems of its own, but we're happy to have those kind of problems.
How many people are going to graduate?
About 370.
Wow.
Give or take. Depends on
a few grades.
Grades that might pop in here
yeah.
the next few days.
So how much bigger is that than normal?
I think normal is probably less than 300.
Wow, that is a big jump.
275 to 325 has been pretty much our range. Since I've been here.
Wow.
So we're at 370.
370.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations then.
Well, the graduates need that. They
well,
need the congratulations.
I mean, you know,
I need
all
condolences.
The
I'm losing 370 students.
Yeah. Well, how's the next classes looking there,
well,
Dan?
I think it's going to look fine. It's going to be fine. They're just the only problem with being a university employee is that I get older and the kids stay the same age.
Yeah, to keep coming in at the same age
right.
and leaving at approximately the same
right.
age.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, that is terrific. Now, you really scored a lucky break here with Senator Tim Scott going to be in town to give the commencement speech.
Well, you know, you have to be lucky sometimes. We contacted Senator Scott right after he was appointed and before he was calendar got too full, and we were fortunate enough to land him for commencement next week.
Yeah, that is going to be, I know Tim Scott personally, and I think that will be a real plus for your graduating class.
The kids will enjoy him, yes.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, you decided to retire. What brought on that decision?
Well, I looked at myself and saw myself healthy. I'm healthy. I'm happy. I can do things. I can ride a bobsled with my grandchildren. And while I can still do those things, I thought maybe I ought to do something different with my life. And Lander's in good shape. And I feel content that it'll be even better shape after I'm gone. And so I just decided to try something different, like relax a little bit.
Do you think you'll be able to do that, Dan? I mean, I've known you for ever since you came here to Greenwood, and you've always been energy, energy, energy.
Well, thank you for that. I will direct my energies maybe in different areas. I don't know for sure. I'm not going to be involved with being a president again. I'm not interested in doing that. I'm not really interested in being a teacher, although I think I used to be a pretty good one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just keep a scope. Periscope up and just see what happens. Maybe used cars or selling used cars or jewelry. Who knows? You know?
Oh, okay. Well, we'll keep you in mind then, Dan. Now, you wanted to retire this year, didn't you?
Well, I thought
about it,
and the board convinced me to stay another year, and I think that's probably a wise decision on their part and mine. So.
But it's tough to go out there and find a person. I mean, even though the board's going to be doing this, they're going to be looking for your input, I'm sure.
Well, I'm not afraid to share my opinions about most things. I think I'll try to not be too influential with this decision. I think that's a board's decision. I will voice an opinion, but I'm not going to get involved with the search.
Sure. Have they started searching?
They have not. I think the search committee has been named. The people have been named. And I believe they're going to meet their first time sometime next month.
Okay.
And there's a ritual that you go through when you search for a president. And they'll be going through that ritual for the next probably 3 or 4 months before they really get down to business.
We have the same ritual when it comes to looking for a president of the United States.
Well, it's a different ritual, I'm sure. But
I'm sure. But it is a pace that you have to go through.
The Board of Trustees of Lander is made up of some great people in this state from throughout the state, and they will find a quality individual to take this place and raise it to new heights.
Well, you know, Dan, when you came to Lander, you took it to new heights.
Well,
I mean,
thank you for
that.
Just look at
what you did for the entrance to Lander. How many people, even you, I think, drove by it and didn't realize you drove by Lander?
Well, that's a little story that I've told a few times. Yeah, I missed Lander when I came for my interview because I couldn't find it. I thought it was, you know, easily found, but it's on 320 Stanley Avenue, and that's not a main drag in town. But at any rate, thank you for that. We do have a little more visibility today than we did 14 years ago.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's something to be very proud of. I would think the program with the exchange students is something I'm sure you're very proud of.
You know, probably if I, you know, I've been anticipating somebody someday asking me what you're most proud of, and I'm going to probably say some of the things you can't see.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to see a new building or a new entrance or a...
Sure.
Those kinds of things, new programs. But I'm kind of proud of some little things, like I started a staff awards breakfast when I first came. Didn't have a staff awards breakfast. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the tobacco-free campus. I'm proud of the summer work schedule that I put together for our staff that they can have during the summer, have Fridays off. And those are some little things that make me feel good.
Sure.
And but we have some new academic programs. I probably have hired 90% or more of all the faculty that work at Lander right now, and I'm very proud of that young group. So those are some things you don't necessarily see
or don't
get to drive by and look at. I'm pretty content with the way I've been treated here. People really made me feel welcome, made Barge feel welcome, and we're planning on staying in Greenwood.
Planning on staying in Greenwood.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you have that beautiful house that you worked very hard on right there on, it's on Stanley, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? How do you like your new home?
Well, it's built in 1917, I think, and it was in those days, craftsmanship was the order of the day, and I'm not saying that we don't have craftsmen today, but the old, old-time things, and we really appreciate that old house.
That's great. That's excellent. So about the exchange program.
Yes.
That was a big program, though, when you brought Dr. Parks here and started putting that together, and that certainly has continued to grow.
It has, and of course, Dr. Park hung up his spikes last year, and so he was an old friend of some 40 years that I pulled out of retirement for three to help us get this thing started, and he's done a great job doing that for us. And we anticipate even more students coming this fall than we had this past fall.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking probably in the 40s, somewhere in the number of 40 international students
from overseas,
from Asia.
From Asia.
And then, of course, we have international students from all over the world, but Asia is primarily our number one recruiting area right now for exchange.
And you've also hired, and since Dr. Park is gone, you have a new person in that head.
We have a new dean that has taken Dr. Park's place. His name is Poe Hu, P-O-H-U. He's from China.
Okay.
And you've heard of Who's On First.
Right.
We play that little story on occasion. There is a baseball player by the name of Hu, by the way. I think he plays for the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a picture of him standing on first base. And it's if you're not familiar with Who's On First, that's an old Abbott Costello
right.
comedy routine back in the 30s or 40s or whenever.
Yeah,
before you and I were born, huh?
There you go. Okay. But anyways, that's that program has certainly grown a lot. Now, I know we have a lot of students coming from – oh, okay. All right, Grace, calm down. We have a lot of students coming from Korea and from, I guess, there'd be more from China?
Yeah, mostly from in the Asian countries would be China and Korea.
Okay. But have we had that many students going overseas?
We've not had the numbers of Lander students going over there that the Asian countries send over here. Primarily, we've never encouraged our students to study abroad in Asia. It's always been in Europe, South America, Canada and those places. We're now looking, we being higher education, are looking at sending our students over to Asia because that's economically a hotbed for, sure. For our economy. And so we've had several students. We have had several students hired by Korea to teach there from Lander.
How about that?
And so, I don't know, three or four probably or more. And we have had several exchanges. We probably had 20 or so students go over there in the last 3 years or 25 to stay for an extended period of time.
Well, I know they've had a good time, and I know the kids coming from Korea have had just a blast over here. I had the opportunity to have a couple of them on the air with us, and boy, what a fun time we had talking to them and their perceptions of everything, and they just were delightful.
I have been impressed with our exchange students as well, and particularly the Korean students. They seem happy. They have good English skills. They've learned how to navigate Lander University quite well. They make excellent grades. They travel when we're on break, and they even travel alone. Some of them travel alone to New York City and Los Angeles and Chicago.
They're probably pretty at home in the big city.
They are, because most of them came from the big cities. Most of the population in those countries are in the cities.
I think it's the country that kind of scares them a little bit.
At least they see blue sky here.
That's what they all said. They see the blue sky.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm here with Dr. Ball, and Gracie is announcing somebody that's come in. So we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here this afternoon. I am here with Dr. Dan Ball. He is the president of Lander University, and we're just talking about all the things going on. You know, I got to tell you, Dan, we talked about your exchange program there, but I tell you what we have been enjoying is the Sunday brunch at the cafeteria over there. Well, that is darn good, Dan.
Well, thank you. We started that about 5 or 6 or so, maybe longer, years ago, and just we didn't advertise it. We just, because we don't want to be competing with our local restaurants, but as a state institution, our dining hall or cafeteria, whatever you want to call it, is open to the public anytime.
Sure.
It's always open. So we thought we would just jazz up the Sunday meal with and call it a brunch and let people come in right after church or whenever, and for a competitive price, you can get all you want, as many things as you want.
Yes,
I think
it's quite diverse.
Yes,
quite
it really diverse. Is. It really is. We're proud of that. And we, I don't know how many people we get on a Sunday, 152, 300 sometimes.
Yeah, it's very good. I wanted to commend you on that.
Thank you.
And of course, the dining room, it looks really nice now. Certainly is a great area. I mean, you've done over these 14 years, there's been a lot of changes. Look at Centennial Hall.
Yeah.
And now Coleman Hall is going to be coming down.
Yeah. And we're building a new residence hall on our old softball field. And it's actually coming out of the ground today. I mean, you can go over and see the footprint, and they're putting in some of the infrastructure today. It will open September 2015.
Okay, so that's year
a little over a year from now, it'll be open.
Mm-hmm. So how is the economic situation, students and the budget and all that kind of
stuff? We're fine. Of course, the budget, as everyone knows, if you lived in South Carolina long enough, the state has not funded higher ed. They've actually cut us quite a little bit over the last 14 years. When I came here, for example, my state appropriation was over $12 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's $6 million a year.
That's like half.
It's half. My state appropriation's half, so what do you do to make up the difference?
Mm-hmm.
You either raise tuition, or you cut programs, or you reduce your quality. We've elected to raise tuition rather than cut programs and quality, although we have eliminated a few programs over the years. But we're not the only ones in that facing that same dilemma. All state institutions in South Carolina have felt that budget crisis we've found ourselves in for a long time now.
Sure.
So we just do what we have to do.
Now, speaking about our students and everything, how is the size of the school? How are many students?
When I came here, we were about 2,200. We went up to a little over 3,000. We're just a little under 3,000 now. That's probably as big as we need to be with the facility that we have. I'm not looking for Lander to grow too much, if any, in the next 10 years, although somebody else may have a different idea about that. I would hope that we would concentrate on improving our quality, not only of our programs, but of our students and our image around the state and the nation. And we'll just see where growth, if any, occurs. Certain programs, you know, wane, certain programs grow, and you evolve over time, and technology's been a big part of this. And Lander University and higher education is not the only people that have suffered our economic downturn for the last, well, we're out of it supposedly now, but from 2007 or 8 till about 2012, we were all suffering, all residents were suffering in this state.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the things that sets you all apart is the equestrian center out there at Burton. I mean, you know, every time you drive by and you see the horses out there, and now it's covered. I mean, and now they're using it for rodeos and different events. I mean, that is pretty much an accomplishment and has to set Lander apart.
Well, we're the only institution in the state that has a therapeutic horsemanship academic program. Mm-hmm. And I want to emphasize that is a core to what we do out there. We have an equestrian team and a club, and we do private lessons, and we have this horsemanship minor. But maybe the most important thing, the partnership that we've developed with the Burton Center with their consumers, taking advantage of the therapy that mm-hmm. horses can bring to some of our needy people, both children and adults. And so that is really, it's heartwarming, and it has helped a lot of people.
I was out there last week. In fact, I had Jimmy Burton on the show. I think it was a week ago, Wednesday. I was out there and saw the walking trail, and what a neat thing that is, and how it works with the horses and the individuals. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It really is. It really is. We're very proud of that center, and we look for we're getting statewide and regional and some national coverage on that, by the way.
Sure. So I think that's a win-win situation. But, you know, one of the things as president of a college, I was just wondering, what do you think about the Common Core, the standards that are being put out there? What do you think as you look at students, particularly our high school seniors coming into college? What do you think? Where are they at?
Are we talking about standards for graduation from high school?
Yes, high school. You know, the Common Core.
The Common Core. Well, I think that you know, we can label things and try new techniques and new products, but you know, I'm of the old school, and this sounds a little simplistic, but reading, writing, arithmetic, and being able to balance your checkbook and understand the law of supply and demand are kind of important in my view, no matter what you want to call it and
right.
whatever package you want to put around it. Our high school graduates need to be able to read, write, speak, and think, and make decisions, and understand the complexities of our society, and that hard work pays off, and to be successful, you're going to have to either inherit it or work for it, and most of us had to work for it. And
well, so how do you think our students are stacking
I don't
up?
Think, I don't think that our high school graduates today are as mobile and diverse in terms of their skills than they were 20, 30, 40 years ago. And I blame that a little bit on every facet of our society. Certainly we're partly to blame, but I think our society in general is partly to blame. I think the family, the erosion of the traditional family has had a part in it. I think drugs has had a part in it. Those things are just hard to get your head around and understand, and I certainly don't profess to understand this, but we have some major societal issues in this country that's impacting our children, and we need to address those. And right now, I don't know that we're doing a very good job of it.
All right. Well, we are here with Dr. Dan Ball. If you have a question for him, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back after the news.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. You know, we were addressing Common Core, Dr. Ball said he might have gotten a little preachy there. I don't know, but I don't think so. I think that it is issues that we have to deal with from a much younger age than sometimes we try to. And it's got to be difficult when you, at the college level, get students that you see the potential in, but they just don't have, shall we say, the discipline or the tools to be able to do the education job that they should be able to do.
I think any university president that you would talk with would tell you that we do a lot of remedial work. Maybe today it's not remedial.
Well, we wouldn't call it that, would we?
No, but I call it that because that's what it is. We still have students coming to Atlanta that need more proficiency in the communication skills and the mathematical skills than they have. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm comparing students today with students 30 or 40 years ago. And maybe that's just getting old. I don't know,
But you're allowed, Dr. Ball.
I guess
you're allowed.
I'm allowed to preach a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. But, one of the big things is the third grade reading level. And if a student doesn't read on that third grade level, that they're held back till they are capable of that. Because if you can't read, really the rest of it falls through the cracks, doesn't it?
I would agree that reading is your number one. Reading and communicating is the number one issue with education. You cannot read, you cannot speak. If you don't know how to listen, if you don't know how to write, you'll be in difficult trouble. With respect to the third grade reading level, I'm not a reading specialist, but I will say that grade levels are created for administrative convenience.
Grade levels are for administrative convenience.
That's right. Okay. And that's my opinion. I think disciplines are created for administrative convenience, math and science and art and music. Those things are artificial. If you really get into the study of learning, they're all related. And so third grade reading, whatever that is, we have a Montessori program here at Lander that we do not use grade levels. We put them in age groups, 3 to 5 years, or 2 to 4 and 3 to 5. And so you move from age group to age group, and you'll have five-year-olds working with three-year-olds.
That sounds like the old school, the one-room schoolhouse.
The one-room schoolhouse, you hit the nail on the head. There is some virtue in the one-room schoolhouse, and I can extrapolate that to our society. If you look out in society today, the gang concept is designed. The reason gangs are somewhat successful is because older children influence younger children.
It's always been that way.
Yeah, and it's always been that way.
Sure.
In the educational environment, in the school environment, the Montessori method utilizes that concept very well. I will tell you a little, if I might,
sure.
I'll tell you a little longitudinal study that was conducted over in Lawrence County by the retired superintendent, Ed Taylor. Ed Taylor was a...
I know Ed Taylor.
You know Ed Taylor?
Yeah, I do.
Well, he was a big champion of Montessori education. He had a cohort of 60 students go through Montessori over there for 17 or 12 years. And they all 60 of them, graduated from high school. And guess how many of them went to post-secondary education out of those 60?
All of them?
All of them.
Yeah.
And that's a testimony of to the power of Montessori education, in my view. Now, is Montessori education for everybody? I don't know. It might very well be. It was good for 60 out of 60. And those kids were demographically, they were diverse. They weren't all upper class, rich kids. They came from all societal levels.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the things that we are seeing in education is the fact of whether it's homeschooling, whether it's online, whether it's private charter schools, all these different type of schools. And I think we've got to come up with a way that we address the best things for each student. That's a difficult thing in today's world.
It is difficult. It is. And there's probably no one best answer. We're still in the experimental stage of the human race. We've only been here, 10,000 years maybe or whatever. That's debatable how long.
Right.
Certainly not as long as the dinosaurs have been here. That we're here, so we have a long way to go. We're a young species, and we're in the developmental stage.
But I would think at Lander, you deal with, I'm sure you have online classes.
We do.
You have internships. You have all these different ways. So it would seem logical that we would utilize that same thing in the under level schools.
Well, there's a little difference. You have the maturity level of K-12. Is something that could be a little bit of difficult to navigate with the liability and with the maturity of the children. We treat our college students as if they were adults.
Invisible adults.
They're there by choice. They're not there by...
Because they have to be.
And so there's that does influence a little bit.
But one of the things you always talk about is at Lander you cannot hide.
That's right. You can't. That's right. That's the luxury of a small campus. We take pride in knowing who our students are, and moms and dads usually they feel a little more at ease than if their children were in some larger place.
Okay. Well, I just think it's very interesting, and as we deal with whether the federal government should be involved, should the federal government not be involved in what is happening on that level, and I would think it affects how our students grow up in that K through 12 when they get into college, yeah. And that's why I brought that up.
Well, you get into the political arena here, and if you look at the Constitution, you look at the education of our children is a responsibility of the state. Not the federal government. Now, should we ban the federal government from assisting our states? No. But I do think sometimes micromanaging from high above is not a good idea. Let's let our professionals run our schools. And just like the professionals run the medical profession or the legal profession, you don't have the federal government...
Well, I beg to differ with you now that we have the Affordable Care Act. They're in on that, too. Well, they're in on the medical end anyways.
Well, I was talking from the educational perspective.
All right, okay.
Med schools decide what the curriculum is going to be.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, anyways, we've got so much more to talk about here with Dr. Dan Ball. It certainly is good to have you here. I heard something about, Athenaeum.
Yeah.
You want to build a big center over there?
Well, that's sort of a dream of mine that it's not original, but the campus, the university has needed a student center for 25 years. And we've not been able to garner the funds from the state to build this thing. We have a student center on campus, but it was built for 800 students. And you have 3,000 now, and so it's out. The student body's outgrown the student center. Mm-hmm. Now, student centers aren't as popular with the legislature as some other facilities like libraries or science buildings, and so you need to figure out a way to sell that concept of a student center to not only the legislature but to the public. And so my idea was to make it a hybrid conference center and student center where the community could use this facility for you know, conferences, for banquets, for annual meetings, for weddings, for a whole host of things. I think it would bring a new clientele of people to our town. If we had the, for example, the insurance agents of South Carolina to come for a week, or the real estate organization to come for a week. We have the South Carolina bankers here every summer now for a week. And so why not have we do a hodgepodge for them. We really don't have a one-stop shop for them. But people look for one-stop shops. Where can I sleep and eat and meet and at the same place? And those are called conference centers.
Yes.
And so since Lander University really operates rather minimally during the summers, we would have that facility for use for the community. When we're not in session, during breaks, during weekends, in the evenings, that facility could be used for a multitude of purposes. So that's a dream.
That's a dream.
We're gonna, but I've realized many of my dreams. I think we'll get this done someday, probably after I'm retired, but we'll see.
Now, how would that be paid for, though, Dan?
Well, the thing will generate some revenue. Mm-hmm. We plan on putting our Honors College in there with 100 beds. And so 100 beds would generate at $4,000 a year per bed, thereabouts. That would, you can put your arithmetic to that. We'll have the state help us with a bond bill down the road. We're going to eventually get a bond bill in this state. We needed one now for since I've been here. North Carolina, by the way, has passed two since I've been here. We've not had one in South Carolina.
What does that mean?
A bond bill is the authority to let us borrow money to build something, or give us the ability.
Well, you're building a dorm over there, Dan.
Well, that's self, but that is like building. That's like building a business that pays for itself.
Okay.
Kids live in there and they pay rent, and that rent pays the mortgage.
Okay.
We're allowed to do that.
Okay.
This building will not pay for itself entirely. It'll pay for part of it. The rental income for conferences will pay for part of it. We hope that the city and the county will realize the impact, the economic impact that this could bring to Greenwood. And we also think that, of course, we're going to rely heavily on the state for at least 40 to 50% of the cost of this. We're talking $40 million, Ann.
$40
million. And, you know, that's not chicken feed, as they say.
No.
So we think the state could probably come up with 20 or maybe 25 of that 40. Mm-hmm. We think the city and the county could come up with, you know, 6 or 8, maybe. Mm-hmm. We think the revenue generation will bring another 2 or 3 million, and we might even be able to get the federal government through FEMA to help us with a few million, and a few million here, a few million there, and you have the building built.
And I guess there's always a naming possibility.
The Eller, with the right amount of donations,
yeah, exactly.
We'll name it for whomever.
That's right. I knew there was an angle here. Hey, I'm Ann Eller here with Dan Ball. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. You know, I just found out, I guess I should have known this, but Lander's baseball team, I mean, we could have a huge, huge tournament here in just a couple of weeks. What's going on, Dan?
Well, we have a fine baseball team this year. We're ranked number 2 in the nation in NCAA Division II. Our record is 40 wins and 6 losses so far. We have a big weekend series coming up. If we do well this weekend, there's a good chance that Greenwood and Lander University will host the NCAA Regional Baseball Tournament toward the end of May.
Wow.
Which will bring in several hundred people here for a week, eating and sleeping and watching baseball. We're excited about that.
Yeah, they had the Legion Baseball a couple of years ago had their
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, they brought theirs in, and they played out there and played at the Jeff May Center there.
Yes. Well, we have a wonderful coaching staff led by Kermit Smith, and he's brought a new life to our baseball program, and we're looking forward to the weekend. By the way, I'm doing a little commercial here. I hope you don't mind, but Friday at 7 o'clock will be a baseball game at the Jeff May Complex at Donnelly Stadium.
Right.
And on Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
And Saturday at 5 o'clock, a doubleheader on Saturday.
Wow.
And the weather should be great. We sell hot dogs, and I think the admission is $5 and for the whole day, you know. So come out and watch a great baseball team. It's the best team we've ever had. We're breaking records every day. We're leading the nation, and we have one of our players is leading the nation in home runs. We're in the top 10 in a lot of the offensive categories. We have a couple of pitchers that are being looked at by 15, 20 major league scouts. It's just a very festive time at Lander, and particularly the Jeff May Complex this weekend.
This weekend. Well, well, I'll be sure to talk about that on the radio. So Friday at 7 p.m., Saturday at 2, and Saturday at 5.
Yes.
And you serve hot dogs.
Well, and pizza and some pizza. Other things,
okay.
You know.
All right.
No beer, however.
No beer.
No beer.
Okay. You know, the Jeff May Center, what a tremendous, you talk about changing the whole look of the town and everything. We talked about the entrance when you came in, and then it's been 2 or 3 years now since the Jeff May Center's been built?
Well, probably more like 4 or 5.
Yeah, it's like, time goes by, yeah.
I think we started on that 2006 and finally got done in like 2010, maybe.
Yeah.
9 or 10.
Yeah. But what a change that's made.
Well, it's better than the old dead shopping center out there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And people use the walking trail and all the tennis courts and everything.
They do. It's one of the nicer facilities around anywhere. And our baseball stadium is just a state-of-the-art. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. Easy place to sit and watch a ball game. No bleachers. All armchair seating in there. It's beautiful.
Wow.
Come out.
Come
watch,
out.
Watch these guys.
Okay, batter, 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 batter up. There we go. So that's another good thing, and that would be tremendous if y'all were able to host that.
It'll bring some revenue to Greenwood quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, plus a lot of honor to the Lander baseball team.
It will, and they deserve it. They're a good group of guys. We had a hotel. We played a game over in North Georgia. And had to stay about 15 miles from town at this hotel. 30 boys, 30 young men and coaches and et cetera. And I got an email from the owner of the hotel complimenting these young men on how well they were behaved, how they didn't tear things up, and how they were very polite. And usually you don't get those kind of compliments from out-of-town hotel owners. And so I'm real proud of these young men and their behavior, and they represent Lander University very, very well. I'm very, very thankful and proud.
Now, what about, but how many are seniors and leaving the team?
I think we probably have 8 or 10 seniors, maybe a dozen leaving. Probably not that many, maybe 8 or 10. But, you know, when you have a good program, there are always kids in the wings. North Carolina's always had a good basketball team, as has Duke. And we're kind of like, we like to think we're like North Carolina basketball and Duke basketball. We're going to have players that can play the game in baseball.
Well, and you have a fine facility to have these games.
We can attract good kids with that facility and with a good coach.
So, you know, when you really look back over these 14 years and you look what you have built with a lot of help, I know, but to all the changes that have come from the Jeff May Center to the Lander Equestrian Center out at Burton Center to the front entrance, Centennial Hall, a new hall going up, and last but not least, Coleman Hall will be coming down. What's going to happen with that space there, Dan?
Well, my plans, of course, they could change, but right now I'm going to put the National Center for Montessori Education right there where Coleman Hall is.
Wow.
We have the National Center for Montessori Education here, and we have some funding, not enough, but we have some state funding to build this thing. So we plan on building it right there unless our plans change.
Which could happen.
It could. Yeah, it could.
Well, that will be quite impressive right there.
It will be.
How many students do you actually have? I mean, I know you have, you actually teach children at the Montessori Center, correct?
Well, we used to. We closed the little school down, but we're planning on reopening a Montessori school within the center.
Okay. How many students actually are learning the Montessori way?
You mean in terms of teacher training?
Yes.
I can't give you a number, Ann. I don't know, but we have a master's degree in it. Mm-hmm. We also have an undergraduate track, and I cannot tell you, but quite a few. Let's say probably 20 or 30.
Okay. Now, one of the things I wonder, why is it that you don't do more in the summertime?
Why is it we don't do what more in the summer?
You don't have that many classes, do you, in the summer?
No.
Well, is not open, really,
a lot of our students come from modest means. They have to have jobs. Many of them work in the summer to earn money to pay for school in the fall.
Okay.
And so that's one of the reasons. But the other reason is that we just don't have the demand from graduate programs that some of the larger schools have. We don't have a lot of graduate programs. And people in graduate school, they come in the summer, like teachers.
Right.
When they don't work, so we don't have a large summer program offering.
Well,
we should.
Yep.
We should, but we don't.
Yeah, I mean, that would make it 12 months out of the year.
That
would make a difference.
That's right.
Now, I got to ask you one more question, though.
Certainly.
As we get ready to finish up here. Over all this time, 14 years here in Greenwood, plan to stay here in Greenwood. That's great. Anything that you look back on, Dan, and you say, you know, I wish I'd done it a different way, or what do you think?
I've been thinking about that, and I cannot think of anything that I've done that I would have done much differently. Of course, my golf game hasn't improved. that could probably have been done a little differently.
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Go ahead, Dan.
I'm pretty proud of our campus and our people that work there and live there and learn there, and we look forward to seeing Lander from a different perch than where I am today.
Sure. Now, you know, one more thing. You know, the docent program.
Oh, yes. Well, listen.
Yeah, I mean, something that...
I'm very pleased with the docent. We have about 60 docents. Those are professional volunteers. And I will have to tell you before we go off the air that Jeff Eller was the young man, or not the young man, that planted that seed with me 10 years ago. And as a result of that, we have the only docent program in higher education in the state of South Carolina that I'm aware of.
And it saves you a lot of money and creates a great bond in the community.
It does, and it gives a venue for people that want to continue to serve, that have retired or semi-retired or just want to serve. And we have 60 docents. We started with 12,
mm-hmm.
and my goal was to get 100. Well, there's something I could have done better.
Okay.
I could have gotten 100 doses. I just didn't get that done.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Dan Ball, thank you so much for sitting down with us here today. It's always a pleasure to see you, and I know we'll see you again right here on the radio.
At the baseball game tomorrow night, or Friday night.
Friday night. We'll be there. All right. Thanks so much, Dan. Bye-bye, everybody.